Hey everyone, how are we? Are we good? There it is, a little stand, because otherwise, you know, I can't see that far down these days. Isn't that a terrible confession? But first thing we're going to do right now is we're going to just pray. Is that all right with you? Because I believe that the Holy Spirit is here. I believe He's amongst us and around us, and I'll talk a little bit about that in a minute, but let's just invite Him into the conversation, shall we? We talk a lot these days about conversations. Yeah, well, we need to have a heavenly conversation today. Amen. Father, we thank You that You are here, You're present, Your Spirit is obvious because we all brought You in with us. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for the word that You would breathe on what is coming out of my mouth today. And anything that is rubbish, just drop it to the ground and let the good stuff go into every one of our hearts that we might use it and be women of God in our, wherever we are, our marketplace, our home, in the church, wherever we are. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank You for us. Thank You for Christmas, and thank You for this church, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, now this time, really give someone a high five as you sit down, okay? Really give them a high five. That's the way. Now today, I almost got the girls to bring up an easy chair and put it here. But because I'm working on a pretty big time change right now and I've only been away from home 4 days or something, it's a long way, like night is day and day is night sort of thing. I thought, better not do that because it may end up that I end up snoring instead of talking to you. So I won't do that. I will actually behave myself and walk around a bit. Is that all right? But what I want to do today is be a grandmother because I am one. And because I'm in my late 60s, I can actually talk to you as a grandmother and say, okay, these are the things, this is the way, you know, that I've been. I can give you some memories, I can give you some projections, and I can talk to you as a grandma to the girls. Is that okay? Good, because this is what we call a fireside chat. I love the fact that we come in and they're singing Winter Wonderland, because the funniest part is we try and do that in Australia when Christmas comes. And if you don't know, it's high summer there by the time it's Christmas. And like it's 95 outside and we're going, walking in a winter wonderland. It doesn't really go, you know. But I love the fact that I can come here and the snowflakes and everything are all very applicable. And believe me, I'm looking to the sky in the next few days while I'm in Virginia Beach for some snow. I know you don't want any, but I do. Is that okay? So today it's a fireside chat from Grandmother Valerie. Is that all right? Good. I want to show you my grandbabies. Is that okay? I keep saying that, don't I? I'm going to show you anyway. The first ones are my two little grandbaby boys. These are my son's kids. If we can get them up on the screen there. I thought I'd bring a little Christmas flavor here. The little one up the top there, he's a little redhead. He's a year and a half. And as you can see, he's an absolute goer. It's on his face, right? He's the younger one. He's a year and a half. The other one is three and a half. That's Frederick and Montague, and both of them are crazies. But we love them to pieces. And then there's our little granddaughter, and that's my son's boys. And there's my little granddaughter. Her name is Aubrey Harper James. Doesn't she even sound famous now? Yeah. So, and that was at her mummy's birthday last week with me down at the beach, and we were having a ball. And little Aubrey Harper James is someone that I want to talk to you about today. I adore her, obviously. And because I'm a grandmother, and I'm not called that, I'm called Uma. I know you're called Shazzy. Shazzy Bear, I love that. Don't you love that as a grandmother? I wanted to be something really like romantic, like Mimi or something cute. But all through his high school years, my son called me Uma. Now that's Dutch. I don't have a Dutch bone anywhere near my family, but for some unusual reason, he always called me Uma. So now I am Uma. So it's Uma and Papa. And it's kind of affectionate, a bit strange, but kind of affectionate. So, you know, I am Uma talking to you today, is that right? I love the fact that I can come and be amongst friends. And Sharon says she doesn't take this for granted. I certainly don't take this for granted. I was just dropping in for a few days with friends and Michael's here and we've come to visit as we normally do 3 to 4 times a year to the wonderful Wave Church, but especially just to see my friend Shaz. And the fact that Sharon has asked me to speak today, thank you, Sharon, for the privilege of reaching out and touching the hearts of women, hopefully today, by some of my words. But today is, as I said, it's not a me come here, preach and talk to you and teach as such. It's more of a sharing as a grandma. Because I want to talk about Christmas, and yes, I want to talk about the season. How could you not? It is such a wonderful season, the most wonderful time of the year, right? And I love that. And all of these songs that bring in the winter wonderland, I've already said how much I love that. And, you know, it really is the most wonderful time of the year. Kids love Christmas, don't they? Aubrey Harper, the little girl up on the screen there, we picked her up from preschool the other day when we came home from a trip. And she was delighted to see Papa at the other end of the corridor. Papa! And holds her arms out and runs to him, little Miss 2.5. She's so articulate, she'll hold a conversation with you at this age, which is quite amazing. But her mum's a film producer, and she's been in daycare and since very, very young. And so she's had lots of socialization. She talks really well, her language is great. So you have a great conversation with Aubrey. So we went to, of course, after preschool when we picked her up, we went to McDonald's where she ate probably half a chicken nugget and two chips. You know, you buy them the Happy Meal. The main thing about that is the toy, of course. And then there's a slippery dip afterwards where your grandfather may or may not get on and go with you. And everyone looks at him as if he's strange, but he doesn't care anymore. And nor do I, because we're grandparents. So we just do what we like, do what we feel. Our children have warned us off buying too many presents for them. But let me tell you, I bought the biggest suitcase. I'm only here for 2 weeks. I bought the biggest suitcase and it's almost empty, except it's not now because I called into Los Angeles and went to Target toy department. So it's almost full. But believe me, over the next few days, I'm absolutely going to pack that baby full and take home lots and lots of things. And I don't care what the kids say. I'm going straight to the grandbabies. They're getting all the presents. How many grandparents are here today? Yeah. Give yourselves a pat on the back. Good on you. Let's applaud the grandparents today. So we picked up Aubrey Harper and we went to McDonald's and we played. And we realised we were only two doors away from this pop-up Christmas shop. And how many of you love a pop-up Christmas shop? So in we went and we carried little Aubrey in because at the door was a big Santa going, ho, 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 in the big red suit. Isn't it funny? We expect kids to love Santa and yet we spend most of the year warning them off old men with white beards who come anywhere near them. But then all of a sudden we expect them all to sit on his lap, you know. But Aubrey wasn't real keen on Santa. In fact, everywhere we went through the shop, she was like, oh, Uma, pick me up, cuddle, Papa. And she was just afraid of all of these, you know, representations of the happy old man with the white beard who gives presents out at Christmas. And I thought, well, fair enough, really, in today's age. So we picked her up and she kept pointing. So we went to another aisle and found what she was pointing at. It was the nativity scenes. And do you know, we let her down, we let her run around because now she wasn't scared anymore, didn't want any more cuddles. And she ran up to the baby Jesus each time. And she picked up the baby Jesus, you know, brought him along today. Picked up, it's a boy doll. I think, oh, it's genderless. But it's a nice representation of the baby Jesus. And she'd pick up the baby Jesus out of the nativity set. And she cuddled it all the way around the aisles. And every time she'd go. And so in the end, there were three beautiful nativity sets. And one of them was $100 and the others were a little bit less. And of course, she loved the one that was $100. So what did we buy? Of course, we bought the $100 nativity set and it's sitting on my sideboard. But because I want them to find out what it is about Christmas that's really real. It's not that we want to ignore Santa because we love all that joyful stuff. I love all that stuff. It is delightful. It really is. I love it. It brings delight to children. It's fabulous. But here's the thing. When we come into church, we realize the reality is it's about Jesus and it's about baby Jesus, yes it is. But there's a fascination in her heart, in her mind. I don't know whether it's been put there by church or by her Christian preschool or by maybe even her grandparents or her parents. Notice I put the parents last in that. Don't mean to, not really. I'm glad they're not listening. But, you know, whoever it's been put in her little heart by, she understands and has a yearning for Jesus, for baby Jesus. In fact, she's so fascinated, we'll have picture number three up, that whenever she comes to a store where they have a display of the nativity, if we can have that photo up of the little girl lying down, that would be great. There she is. Now, that's Aubrey. She's lying down on the floor of the mall, looking in a window, and see, there's baby Jesus. Every time she comes to a display, she gets as close as she can, and if she can't hold the baby Jesus, she'll look through the window like that. How fascinating. There is such a yearning in a two-year-old for the truth of Christmas, for Jesus himself, for a heart connection with what she knows to be good. Who puts that there? I honestly think that God has put that there. So today I want to talk about this picture of my granddaughter and how she has a yearning for Jesus. But I want to say to you, that yearning is in everyone. That yearning is in your girlfriends that don't come to church, the ones that you think will never come to church. That yearning is amongst those people that you might visit in the hospitals. I love the church being the church. We just heard about that. Awesome. But those people that are sitting there are receiving kindness from you, and they're seeing a part of Jesus come with you. And, you know, that yearning is in people that deny the fact that there even is a God. There is placed in everyone a God-shaped hole. And it's only when we fill that with Christ and the love for our Savior that was created before the worlds began, do we ever find our purpose and our going forward. And I know that sounds like a blanket statement and very, you know, there's no argument to that. But honestly, because of my life and now being the age that I am and having walked with Christ for 40 years, I know that that is true. And I know that it feels good when your granddaughter has a yearning for the same relationship. Amen? Today, I want to talk about that. And the baby Jesus, and I want to, you know, bring that to you today and talk about, you know, how we can allow or help our friends and our neighbours to find the same kind of relationship that we have with Jesus, you know. And I brought this one just to be a representation and, you know. You know, it's a little bit like Lion King. Yeah, we've all seen The Lion King, right? Let's turn in our Bibles to the book of John. Book of John chapter 4, 35 to 38 says this. This is Jesus watching a crowd of people come out of town. He's with the boys from Galilee. The boys from Galilee. It sounds like a boy band, doesn't it? Back in the first century. Yeah, there's Peter and there's all the guys. And there they are, and they're watching this crowd of people come out of the village or the town. And this is what he says. As the crowds emerged from the village, Jesus said to his disciples, "Why would you say the harvest is another 4 months away? Look, all the people coming. Now is harvest time. And everyone who, missed a sentence, for their hearts are like vast fields of ripened grain, ready for a spiritual harvest. And everyone who reaps these souls, all of these guys, for eternal life will receive a reward. And those who plant spiritual seeds and those who reap the harvest will celebrate together with great joy." And this confirms the saying, "One sows the seed, another reaps the harvest. I have sent you out to the harvest field that you haven't planted, where many others have labored long and hard before you." Wow. "And now you are privileged to profit from their labors and reap the harvest." How good is it that Jesus talks to us about, you know, seeing a crowd of people advance towards him, and he's going, "Hey guys, boys from Galilee, take note. These people, they are the ones we can harvest. See, they're ready, they're ripe. They are ripened like a field of wheat." And that's when Jesus starts to use those wonderful examples that related to these guys that followed him. Christmas is a wonderful time of year, but we can't forget that Christmas is enjoyed by everyone around the place. Now, there are some Grinches that would like to cancel it. We know there are some people who would like us not to say Merry Christmas. I noticed the absence of that on the airlines this year. Whoa, I really noticed it. No one's saying it. Not even saying Happy Holidays. They're just saying Have a good day. And I'm like, well, what? What is that about? Because they want to ignore the fact that the truth of Christmas is for everybody, and everybody has a yearning in their heart to know Christ, and so they don't want to mention it because of the Grinches, right? But Christmas is the most wonderful time of the year. It's the time when we as Christians can celebrate that people's hearts each have a yearning for Christ. Many will try to fill the emptiness with the spangles and the glory that they see in the man-made stuff that is Christmas. And we love all that stuff as well. We love Santa, ho, 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 all that stuff. But it's not the real meaning of Christmas. The real meaning of Christmas is the thing that fills the heart. And it doesn't go away on Boxing Day, the day after Christmas. And it's still there on New Year's Day morning when they may wake up with a headache. You know, the real celebration is that this is a lifelong thing. I've been reading the book of Titus because I love the Apostle Paul and how he mentored these young guys into real church builders, real builders of people. And they in turn discipled others. Timothy, Titus. I've been loving the book of Titus and hearing Paul shape this young man and send him out into those ripe fields of harvest of the first century. And even today, his words ring true, don't they? All of the training words that Paul had, it rings true even now. Titus 2:11 says this, God's marvelous grace, Titus, has manifested in person, bringing salvation for everyone. You could put that in neon lights in Times Square and it would be the stuff of Christmas. God's amazing grace has manifested itself. Titus 2:13 goes on with Paul talking to this friend of his and says, "For we continue to look forward to the joyful fulfillment of our hope." How amazing. You know that word, the looking forward. It's actually written, obviously, that the New Testament is written in Greek, now ancient Greek, a long, long time ago. But when they wrote the New Testament, of course, some of the words were very different to our English language. And in fact, many of the languages that the Bible is now translated into. We don't get the proper meaning of what Paul was trying to say to his son, Titus, his son in the faith. What he was trying to say was this word, epiphaneia. Epiphaneia. Can you say that? Epiphaneia. What's it sound like? Epiphany, right. And in English, that's how it's translated. Many of us don't even use the word epiphany now, though. What it means is a beautiful appearing. Epiphaneia, a beautiful appearing. So that verse then becomes, for we continue to look forward to a beautiful appearing, to the joyful fulfillment of our hope. Isn't that what we feel? Isn't that what we feel on the inside when we really imbibe Christmas, the beautiful appearing of our Saviour? How do you feel when you visualise the shepherds on the hills and the sky being filled with real lights, real angels singing, throngs, which means thousands and thousands of angels singing praise to God? Glory to God in the highest and peace on earth to all men. That outdoes everything we can even see at the movies or everything that we have ever thought about Christmas. That is magnificence. I love even thinking of it, the beautiful appearing of Christ. When we do go to the movies, of course, we see lots of wonderful things that are terrifically man-made. My daughter is in that world and she makes, you know, fantastic things come true and on the screen, and that's awesome. But, you know, when we have Boxing Day, which is the day after, it's a public holiday in Australia and through England and so forth, and the old-fashioned thing was that people would box up what they had from Christmas and take it out to the poor. That was Boxing Day. It was a day of giving, right? Because Christmas is all about giving. And so when we have Boxing Day at home, we have all these releases of the newest movies. Do you have that here? So we all, you don't. Well, this is our family tradition in Australia. We all trudge along to the movie and we take in things like Les Mis, you know, the whole Murphy family is there, you know, singing along with whoever's playing there. And we're singing the songs of Les Mis and we're loving it. Michael's got the loudest voice because that's who he is. And he's up and above everybody and we love it. Dad's out there loving it. And then, you know, we might go and see Paddington Bear. We did that one year because our daughter had been in England for a while. And so she insisted that we all go see a movie about London. And then one year we had to all go in and get some 3D glasses because we watched a 3D movie. Have any of you ever had any of the 3D glasses on? Let's take off the other ones first, Valerie. Here's the 3D glasses. Oh, I've got to stand still because you've all gone into like a blurry sort of effect. Let me look at the screen with my three. Oh, that's better. Oh, look at the colours. Oh, the rainbow hues. And I look back at you and, oh, No, it's making me feel a little bit woozy. I got to look at the screen because that's what the 3D glasses are for, right? As I'm watching my movie. It speaks to me, and I have to put this on because I'm a grandma, I'm a Norma, and I can't read my notes without them, so we have to have those on. But it reminds me of the way God directs our gaze to what he wants us to see. He says, okay, I want you to see the movie screen of what can be. I want you to see the church as it can be, your family as it can be, your life as it can be, but I want you to put on my glasses in order to see it. And what that means is you can't look around at the people around you because they're all going to blur and they're going to make you overbalance. Right? You got to look at the screen of what I'm telling you. And when you do that, you'll get the real picture. Do you notice when you put on 3D glasses that you find that there's colors going off the edge of things? Like it's like a rainbow sort of happens at times if you move your eyes too quick. I love that. Because in the Bible, the word talks about the manifold glory of God. And do you know in the original language that has been translated a little wrong too, but it means the magnificent colors of our God. Do you know God has amazing rainbow colors of wisdom? Can you imagine that? That when you put on the 3D glasses and you look at God in the spirit, you can see his manifold wisdom, his many colored wisdom. There is so much to discover about this Savior, so much that he's brought to earth, so much creativity. Where do you think it all came from? His heart, and he wants to share it with us every day. The manifold, glorious wisdom of God himself. In Titus 2:14, Paul goes on to teach his young charge. He sacrificed for us that he might purchase our freedom from every lawless deed and to purify for himself a people who are his very own. Do you know you are his very own? Do you feel that God is yours personally? Because that's what this whole thing about salvation is all about. There's a word there that's used in the Greek as well called periousias. Periousias gives the picture of us being in the center and of God surrounding us. Did you know God surrounds you today? How does that feel? We look at him and we see colors. We see 3D, incredible, clear, high definition, amazing plans for our lives from him. And then we realize no matter where we step, Psalm 139, remember, I might go down to the depths, I might go up to the heights, still you are there. And no matter where we go, we are surrounded by the manifold wisdom of God and the salvation that is Christ. I think it's really important at Christmas as a grandmother that we effuse all of this stuff, that we say, listen, this is what Christ is about. It's not that we don't love all the tinsel and the Santa and the trains. We love all that. But here's the main game, the glory and the salvation of Christ. Amen? And so when Paul starts to talk to Titus about this, I just love it because he's really speaking to me. I don't know whether he's speaking to you, but he's speaking to me. Anybody else here? He's saying, listen, young whippersnapper, which is me, just because I'm that old doesn't mean to say that I have to act that old, right? And nor do we, nor do all of us. But he draws us. He draws us into that relationship with this young man and he says, listen, this is for you as well. Have you ever led anyone into a relationship with Christ? I don't know whether I've ever told you, but the day that I was born again was the day that I went to visit a friend with my brother. I'd been through a terrible situation where I had been married as a younger girl in another state and my husband had left me. He'd gone missing for about 8 weeks. I don't think I ate a proper meal during that 8 weeks. I kept getting up for work every day as a flight attendant, kept doing my thing, but was dying on the inside. And I was the lowest of the low. And I walked into a church and was seriously touched by this surrounding presence of God, surrounding love that warmed me. And you know the thing that got me was the kindness of God. Do you know in the book of Romans, it tells us that his kindness is what leads us to repentance. It's actually nothing to do with us. He touches us with his kindness and we repent. And we think we're doing so good by coming and confessing our sins. If we did nothing, he'd still love us. But it's whether we want to turn to him or not, isn't it? His kindness leads us to repentance. I was in the Qantas Business Lounge last Monday, of course, because we fly so much that we're allowed to do stuff like that. And I went in to get breakfast because it was an early morning. I was joining Michael in America and I'm in Sydney. And I walked into the lounge and I passed the first restaurant and it was full. And I passed the second restaurant and it was full. And I finally went to the third of these alcoves, which are restaurants in the Qantas Business Lounge, big place. Couldn't get a seat. Eventually, I was called up and given the last seat, little table. Got my scrambled eggs. I was enjoying them just fine. Got up for a moment to go to the bathroom. And I realized I was passing a couple of friends of mine who were pastors. Had a little chat. That was great. Went back to my seat. And the lady in the table next to me had been watching all of this. My friends got up to go. They're relatively well known. And she went up to the wife and obviously said something that had touched this lady's heart. And the wife actually put a hand on her shoulder in a really kind gesture. You know when you can see that from afar and you go, oh, that does my heart good. That is kind. Do you know how to be kind? Do you know what happens to you when someone is kind to you? Does it open a door for you? I think it does. Well, anyway, this young woman came and sat next to me and I started to engage with her and I felt something special. Have you ever been in that situation where you're talking to somebody and, oh, what is that? The Holy Spirit comes and settles on the conversation and you're like, who's here with me? Parousios. God surrounding me, right? He's all with me all the time, but there he is right there in that conversation. I have to watch that I don't have the biggest smile on my face that they're going to go, well, what's wrong with you, lady? You know, are you strange? But there's a joy in my heart when that happens, and it's not very often. Anyway, I started to talk to this young woman who was a sales manager for a software company and did lots of trips across what we call the pond, which is the Tasman Sea over to New Zealand. And she was saying, I said, do you know these people? She said, oh, not personally, but I've been to their church, but I feel, I said, have you been lately? She said, no. She said, I get very lonely. I go on my own. My husband won't come. I don't have anyone else. And I feel like I shouldn't be there. I said, well, why is that? Her name was Kate. I said, Kate, why do you feel like you shouldn't be there? She said, because I just feel not worthy. I don't feel worthy to be in church. And I said, you know what? I think you're missing the point of this. We don't sit in church because we're worthy or because we feel we belong there or because we were born there, right? Because I wouldn't be here for one. And half of you wouldn't be there either. Most of us. We go to church because we understand the grace of God. And I started to explain grace to her and she started to tear up and I thought, oh, I didn't think anything particularly. I just knew God was leading me. We're surrounded by business people, businessmen mostly, with their laptops open, talking, eating their breakfast, doing their thing, relatively close. And I said, do you understand that this is just a decision away and then you're on a journey to heaven and no one can ever take that away from you? This is what the grace of God is. This is why Jesus came at Christmas. This is why he became sacrificed at Easter. This is the whole story of Jesus. It's actually nothing to do with your worthiness. And she said to me, I never thought of it like that. And I said, so would you like to make a decision where you invite Christ into your life and can be surrounded by him every day? Yes. I said, okay. And with our eyes wide open, I said, Father, bless this prayer today as she repeats after me, dear Jesus. And we went through and we invited Jesus into her heart, eyes open, tears flowing, didn't care who heard us. I don't think anyone did. And she became born again. Is that a miracle, girls? How many of you have done that here today? I'm not asking for hands right now. But see, the thing is, it's such a miracle that we can step across the threshold into that relationship with Jesus Christ. Titus 2:14 again, he sacrificed himself for us that we might purchase our freedom from every lawless deed and to purify for himself a people who are his very own or who are encircled by God. No matter where I go now, I can never, ever go back on the fact that the grace of God has been mine. I've received it and I have the grace of God no matter what I do. Look, we know there's a lot of learning to do, and I directed that young lady to where she could learn. But I want to give you a couple of things today, because if I've shared these stories with you and you went away and said, wow, that's fantastic, I'd love that opportunity. Look, I've led people to Jesus in places like prisons in Bangkok, where you can't even, there's bars and canals and chickens between you and them. The first thing I did was to take some supermarket goodies in. Kindness opens the door. The kindness of that pastor opened the door for that woman. I've seen this happen so very often. 3 weeks ago, we dedicated little Montague, the little red-headed one. My mother-in-law came. She's 85. She's been a Catholic all her life, but doesn't believe she's going to heaven because she's not sure whether she's good enough. And this is a common thing amongst people who have been in church all their life, but actually don't understand the grace of God. Thank God you're in this church, people. Thank God you're in Wave, which will explain all of these things to you. And so there was a kindness that happened all through the service, and I sat down with her in the prayer time, like what we just had when the cards went up. We're praying for these things. I sat down and said, "Mum, do you mind if I pray for you?" "No, I don't, darling. I don't mind. I love your church." Years ago, 30-odd years ago, we were the worst in the world. Out of the 7 children, Michael was the black sheep because he was in this strange church that nobody understood. Now, they've seen us 35 years married, 3 great kids, 3 grandchildren, all of us serving God because it's real. You see, that kindness opened the door. I was able to pray with her that day. Now, I'm hoping that that prayer settles and that she will actually open her heart next time we talk and actually invite Christ in. That'd be great, hey? I want to give you a couple of pointers today just so that we can go away with something, because there's no point coming and talking about all these great things and then going, "Well, that's it, off you go." Yeah, but how do I do that? How do I do that? Do you want to know? Let me tell you a couple of things. First of all, be convinced. Be convinced that God is always wanting us to be awake, aware, and agitated about our world. We must be awake. We must watch for the signs, and we must be agitated about the fact that the devil has got other people under a cloud, and we don't want them there, they don't want them there, and we want to see them freed. Is that right? Number 2, be assured. Not the same as convinced, but now we're carrying an assurance. We have him in our heart, a truth that lives in our soul and needs to be shared. We're now a people his very own, surrounded by him, perinousios, encircled by his grace and love, and being confident in that. Number 3, get a grip, girl. Get a grip. What on? Get a grip on grace and how it's not up to us to judge a person in their situation. Just be kind to them and God will make a way. Ask him. Ask him for the way. Get a grip on grace. We love it, don't we? I'm always forgetting my passwords, are you? So now I've got this app that's called LastPass and I look that up. The trouble is you've got to have one password you're not allowed to write down anywhere because it carries all your other passwords. Yeah, I know. I cannot forget that for the life of me. I've not got it written down anywhere. And I get very nervous that one day I will forget that. Well, if you want a password to heaven, the word grace, G-R-A-C-E. Let's get a grip on it and understand it's not about us. We don't judge. The Bible says judge yourself. It says judge not others. Right? And the fourth thing is get ready. God will bring the harvest. As those boys from Galilee saw that harvest of people coming out, you will see a harvest of people coming towards you. Be convinced, be assured, get a grip and get ready. You know, my husband went to a great thing called Sight and Sound the other day, and it was over in Pennsylvania, a massive great theatre. Best thing he's ever seen, he said, and he's seen a lot of Broadway. And it was about Jesus. And they had everything from the nativity right through to the crucifixion. You actually saw the boys from Galilee, the disciples, taking down Jesus from a cross. Like, it's a massive production. At one stage, there were 3 full-size boats with 30 people. Like, amazing stuff. And they took down Jesus from the cross. And there's Mary wrapping him with swaddling clothes. And then all of a sudden the light comes up on the other side of the stage and there's Mary. She's wrapping the baby Jesus in swaddling clothes. How do you think the memory was for Mary? Did you relate to her? Wrapping her dead and abused son in the same kind of clothes that she wrapped him in when he was born. Now, I don't know whether this is true, but there are some commentators that talk about these swaddling clothes and how they would wrap babies in the first century in them for whatever reason. But also every man had a bunch of these swaddling clothes he wore around his waist. They were like rags worn around the waist. And the reason was if anyone died in their party when they were traveling, they had to bury them within 48 hours and they had to be wrapped, mummy-like. And so they would all carry, all the men would carry these clothes around their waist. I wonder, with the very poor Mary and Joseph after their long trip and her eventually giving birth in the poorest place possible, either a cave or a stable, and putting him in a food trough, an animal food trough, whether the only thing they had was those death bandages from around his waist. Maybe. See, swaddling clothes were for many reasons, but it shows our Savior was born, but he was born to die for us. Amen. And that's the truth of Christmas. The truth of Christmas is joy and peace, goodwill to all men. Awesome. But there's a narrative that goes with that. And when the narrative comes to the end, there's Easter and there's the crucifixion. And that's the thing that we need to tell in its entirety when we're talking and we're sharing with people and say, you don't need to feel guilty about that. You don't need to whip yourself. You just need to give yourself over and say, I surrender. Amen. So today on that note, I want to say thank you to God. Thank you to Him who is glorious above all. Wish you all a very happy Christmas, a Merry Christmas. Why don't you wish the person next to you a very Merry Christmas? And then why don't you stand with me? We're going to pray together. I've done my time. Sorry about that. But we're going to pray together. Did you get those pointers? Don't be afraid. Now, Moses said, if your presence doesn't go with me, let me not go at all. Yeah, that's a good one to remember. If the presence of God is not with you, don't force anyone. But if you've invited someone, you can see they're yearning like Aubrey Harper James. Let me tell you, the Holy Spirit's on that. Don't be afraid. Don't you want them to have the joy you've got at Christmas? The understanding of the surrounding nature of Christ Himself, how He'll never leave you or forsake you? Leaves the 99, we sang it this morning. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name for this morning, for these sisters, for all of the things that pertain to the most wonderful season that is on our church calendar, on anybody's calendar, that season filled with joy and peace and giving and kindness. Thank you, Lord. May you just blanket this church in the forgiveness and the wonderful rejuvenation that is the born-again experience as people come streaming into the Christmas production. Lord, breathe on that. Holy Spirit, draw people in their hearts and give them a yearning for Christ like a child. In Jesus' name. Now keep your eyes shut because I'm going to ask you today. There may be those of you that really want to do this and share with your neighbors and friends, and if you could do nothing else, bring them to church. But if you have the opportunity where the Holy Spirit is landing on you and you can lead them to Christ first, even better. But today there may be some here that don't know Christ, that don't know that yearning in their heart, or they've suppressed it. Maybe they've felt it before. Maybe you, my dear friend, my dear sister, want to come back to that place where you know Jesus. I want to give you an opportunity today. All we're going to do is pray with you. And then you can know that you are on a journey heaven bound. And yes, there's a lot of learning, just like Titus had from Paul, just like we all go through. It's learning. It's such a joy to get to know this Savior. But you will know the Christ of Christmas. So today, can I ask you, on the count of three, if you would put your hand up, we're going to say a quick prayer and invite Jesus into your heart. First of all, number one, Jesus was born for you, but also He died for your sin, because our whole world is steeped in this separation from God, which is sin. It's not what you do, it's a state of being. Number two, the grace of Christ came with that birth. In other words, Jesus was born to be our Savior and to die for us as the exchange for the sin nature. And He's asking you today to come home to Him. So number three, would you put your hand up if that's you today? You'd like us to pray with you. Just quickly shoot your hand up and we'll pray with you. Is there anyone here at all? Okay. If you find that later on you should have put your hand up and you wanted to, that's okay, because we're going to say this prayer together. And if this is you, it will have the same effect. We don't need to see your hand. We just need you to pray this prayer. Amen. Would you pray after me? Dear Jesus, I thank you today that the Christ of Christmas is he who came to redeem me. And as I give my heart to you afresh today, I ask you to come in to be with me for all of my days, forever. And when I die, to take me to your heaven to be with you always. Help me to live as a Christian every day in Jesus' name.